Thank you, Kenny. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Last week, of course, we finished up part one of our discipleship lessons, looking at the topic of growing in grace. And we finished up those 10 lessons last Sunday, this morning. We're beginning our second part of that, looking at things that we now need to add to our faith. So now that we're saved, now that we're born again, now that we're Christians, salvation was not just the ending. There are now certain things that we need to add to that faith. There are now things that we need to seek to grow in as we continue to grow closer to the Lord. And so you're there. Hebrews chapter 12, and today we're going to be looking at faith and what it means to have faith. And so, who'd like to read there Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Miss Martha, go ahead.
I've got it. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
All right. And so the key that we want to focus on there is that first half of the verse, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, the ending. Everything about our faith begins and ends with him. That word faith is defined as persuasion, moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. There are two phrases that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, and they deal with our faith as Christians. Number one, you have to them that have obtained like precious faith there in verse 1, and then in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And so in our first set of lessons, we looked at the thought of salvation. We looked at what it meant to be saved, what it meant to be born again, what it meant to trust Christ as our Savior. And salvation is just that. It's a free gift received by anyone who repents of their sin, puts his faith in Jesus Christ. We see that in Acts chapter 20. And so now after salvation, now it is up to us to rely upon Christ for salvation. Just as when we got saved, it wasn't anything we did. Now, keeping our salvation, it's not anything that we do to keep that salvation. Who'd like to look up there Romans chapter 6 and verse 23? Katie, go ahead.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, and so that first fill in the blank there on your paper, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I've used the illustration number of times. You go to work Monday through Friday, and you might get paid weekly, bi-weekly. I know some folks, they get paid monthly. They get one big check once a month. And when it comes payday, you expect to, that morning you wake up, you expect to open your bank account. You expect to see that your check has been deposited, and you expect that it's going to be there. And why? Because you put in the work. You put in some wages. You put in you put in some work, so you expect to get your wages for that work you put in. And so once a person is saved, once we're born again, once we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we should add to our faith by increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's not for salvation, but that's just for Christian growth. And the truth is this morning that the way that we increase in the knowledge of God is simple. Reading our Bible, spending time in prayer, just trying to do our best with his help to grow closer to him. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Who'd like to read that? Ms. Martha, go ahead.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
All right. And so we see that second fill in the blank, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so as we look at a closer examination of the two phrases found in 2 Peter chapter 1, They will help us as Christians to have a better understanding of our faith, to grow in that knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. So the very first thing we want to see is faith obtained. Faith obtained. And it's obtained like precious faith. Who'd like to read there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Okay, Miss Martha, go ahead.
I just haven't been in 2 Peter for a while.
There you go.
2 Peter 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied among you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen to that.
That's fine. And so this like precious faith that Peter's talking about, we received that like precious faith when you and I received Jesus Christ as our Savior. He imputed that salvation upon us. He imputed that righteousness upon us. John 1:12, the Bible tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so that word faith is in reference to salvation or to being born again. And this is the foundation to which as Christians we must add. If you don't have the salvation, if you don't have if you haven't been born again, then you can't add to that. You first must do first things first, and that's trust Christ as your Savior. So without salvation, there'd be nothing to build upon. You think about maybe building a house. What's the very first thing you have to do when you're building a house? You have to lay the foundation. The what?
The roof.
And how would you go?
Stay dry while you're doing the foundation.
Oh, my soul. Anyway, don't listen to him. You lay that foundation so that then you can build properly upon it. There's an old Sunday school chorus. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the storms came and washed it away. And so when we're building something, we have to build it on that right foundation. And if we're going to add to our faith, well, first we need to build on that right foundation of being saved, of being born again, of trusting Christ as our Savior. So you're there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Who'd like to read verse number 5 for us? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Brother Kenny, then Katie, you can read verse 9.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
All right. And so that fill in the blank there, who are kept by the power of God through
faith.
And so, again, we didn't do anything there in our salvation, and we don't do anything to keep it. It's all in his hands. It's all in his power. It's all in his might. And, you know, I'm thankful that it's not dependent on us. Because, you know, some mornings we wake up, we might not necessarily feel like we're a Christian. We might not necessarily feel like we're saved. We might not necessarily feel like going out and, you know, and doing the things that a Christian is, you know, we're supposed to do. And that's for any number of reasons, because just because we're Christians, we're not immune to the trials, the tribulations, the heartache, the sorrows of life. And so when those things come, you know, it's one thing to know, yes, God has it in control, but it's another thing to then practice that very same thing in knowing that God has it under control. And so, you know, some days, you know, to our detriment, we allow that old man to win. We allow that, you know, the flesh to get in there. And it's not us who keeps our salvation. It's him who keeps our salvation. 1 Peter 1:9. Katie, go ahead.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
All right, and so we see there, that fill in the blank there, even the
salvation
of your souls. And so the end of your faith is just that, the salvation of our souls, that one day we will go to be with the Lord forever. And then who'd like to read there 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Joe, go ahead.
For other foundations can no man lay than that in is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
All right, and so we see there, for other foundation can no man lay. And so there's nothing else that anybody can do except that which Christ has already done. He's already paid it all. He's already done it all. And he's already provided that salvation for you and I on the cross of Calvary. There on your second page, you see a little illustration about the Sears Tower there in Chicago. And the Sears Tower in Chicago reaches a height of about 1,400 feet. And it's the tallest building in North America, yet the foundation reaches 100 feet below the earth with 180,000 yards of material. And it's though this foundation, you know, you never see that foundation, but it that foundation is what supports one of the world's tallest buildings. And so we think about that, and it's similar to us as Christians. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation on which the rest of our Christian life is to be built. Christ, he's a great foundation that is absolutely necessary, but one which cannot be seen with human eyesight. You know, that's why the Bible tells us, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so we see that that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so
I have a really stupid thing. Why do they have it as Sears in Chicago and it's New York City? It's really bothering me.
I was just writing that, like, this is New York City skyline, this is Chicago.
And also I'm wondering if they published it before 2001.
But
true.
Oh, yeah. The question is the foundation, as they can correlate now, the memorial pounds are the foundations of the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
They should have used that as an example.
Oh, this was written back in the...
Sorry, I totally squirreled there. I was like, this is not right.
This was probably written back in the 70s or 80s.
Okay. We gotta revise this.
It doesn't change, because Jesus doesn't change.
That's right.
No, but the picture has.
Oh!
Shush.
Well, then, we you know, I wouldn't have noticed that, so, you know. All right, but faith obtained through Jesus Christ. You're fine.
I'll talk to you on that show.
And then secondly...
That's like a bag, though.
Change the name of the Sears Tower.
To what?
Because
I don't know.
Sears,
she's saying, did they change it?
There's no Sears
so went out of business.
Oh, yeah.
Change the name.
Was it named after Sears, the department store, though?
Or the family name?
Or
I don't know.
All right, so
like Trump Tower.
Yeah, so someone Google this.
I'm on it.
all right. Secondly, because of Jesus Christ, we have faith obtained. Because of Jesus Christ, we have faith obtained. So, as a result of receiving Christ, having him as the foundation, as Christians, we receive five things which are mentioned in those first three verses of 2 Peter that we just read. And so it's in these verses the word through is found, which refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so through Christ, we have the following things. Number one, we have like precious faith. We have like precious faith. That's a persuasion, moral conviction, a reliance upon Christ. Not only that, do we have like precious faith, but then we have grace there in verse number two, a graciousness, an acceptability, a favor. Number three, we have peace, peace by implication, prosperity, quietness, rest. Then we have life, life literally or figuratively. We now have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number five, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have godliness. That's a piety, a holiness that we're supposed to have as Christians. And so when we get saved, we get all of these things through the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, then letter C there, it's by Jesus Christ we have several things. Verse 4, number 1, as believers, as Christians, we can be partakers of his divine nature. We can be partakers of his divine nature. So when you and I get saved, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells us as Christians. And as Christians, we now have a new nature. The Bible tells us, behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. And that new nature, that divine nature, is now received. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And so we get saved. The new nature comes into us. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and dwells us. And now we are no longer our own. We now belong to him. We now are his to do as he sees fit. Last week we looked at the concept of a hired servant versus that of a bond servant. And we said that, you know, the hired servant, he has his set tasks. He knows what he's getting paid, when he's getting paid, so on and so forth. And then the bond servant is a servant to his master to do whatever the master would have him to do. And as Christians, you and I are that second category. We are the bond servant. Whatever God wants of us to do, we ought to just do it because he knows what he's doing. And so we are partakers of the divine nature. But not only that, secondly, as Christians, we can escape the corruption that is in this world. We can escape the corruption that is in this world. We know that this world, it's corrupt because of sin. It's corrupt because of man's lust. James 1:14, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But now, as Christians, through Christ, you and I can escape the corruption of the world by being a partaker, a sharer, a partner of his divine nature. Ephesians 2:2, the Bible says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so before you and I got saved, you and I, we were going the exact same way as the world. We were walking the course of this world. We were captives of Satan himself. We had a spirit that worked in us, that worked in the children of disobedience. But now, because you and I are saved, we can escape the corruption that is in the world. I believe it's 1 or 2 Corinthians. The Bible talks about that he, being Christ, he makes a way of escape. And so when you and I are tempted to sin, you know, sometimes we say, well, Satan made me do it. Satan didn't make you do a thing. If you sinned because you wanted to sin. If I sinned, it's because I wanted to sin, because the Bible tells us he has provided that door of escape that we can escape through that temptation. We can escape through that that enticement to sin. Romans 8:9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So again, we see now that we're saved, we're no longer in the flesh. Yes, we still battle the old man, but now we're in the Spirit. And so we see that first phrase, phrase of like precious faith. And now secondly, we see that faith is built upon. Now we need to add to our faith. We need to add to our faith. Who'd like to read there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Katie?
Diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
All right. Do you have a verse there that says, and you shall never fail or fall? I think that's verse 6, maybe?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking a little bit ahead then. Okay, never mind. All right, so verse 5. It begins there with that phrase, and beside this. In other words, what the Bible's telling us is that beside all that Christ has given to us as Christians, given to those that are saved, we now need to add to our faith. Now, you notice how it's written. It's not a request, but rather a command of God that should be done with diligence. The word diligence is defined as speed, eagerness, and with haste. And so, the implication is this. As soon as you and I are saved, as soon as you and I are born again and trust Christ as our Savior, we need to begin eagerly adding to our faith the following. We need to add to our faith virtue. That's to courageously do right. To do right no matter what. Dr. Bob Jones once said, do right if the stars are falling, do right. When everyone else around you is not doing right, do right. That was his message. That was his motto. Do right. That's what virtue is. Knowledge, to know God's word. We need to know God's word. Genesis to Revelation, we need to know it. And listen, we won't ever know all of the Bible. We won't know all of the word of God. There are times you'll be reading your Bible and you could read a particular passage 99 times. And that 100th time, you read it and then something jumps out at you and just like bites you in the nose or slaps you in the face. Now, that doesn't mean that it hasn't always been there, because it always has. The Bible, we know, is given of no private interpretation. But now, for whatever reason, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has decided to illuminate that at that particular time. But you're not going to know that if you don't get in God's word, if you don't get in the Bible. And so virtue, knowledge, and then temperance. In other words, to have self-control. To have self-control. That's a hard one, mm-hmm. To have self-control. Mandy and I were talking yesterday. 2 years ago, we had our missions conference. And it was at that missions conference, we had the Dundons to Philadelphia in. And that week, at the time, I was on the iPhone XR. XR. And so it was a few years old. And so I decided, okay, time to upgrade. So I went and got the iPhone 12 mini. And so that came in. And we were talking yesterday, and they just announced the iPhone 15. So I'm already 3 generations of an iPhone behind. Mandy, she's on what, the 11? So she's 12, 13, 14, 4. I went to public school, folks. I can't do simple math. What's that? Yeah.
But at least my phone doesn't burn my hand.
Well, that is true. That is true.
They're getting up to 218 degrees Fahrenheit. Like, the phones are, the batteries.
That's a good
overheating. And they're
good temperature for lithium to explode. Yeah.
but here's the thing. You know, there are people that every time a new iPhone comes out or new Samsung comes out, they have to get it.
Do you see all the new features it has, though? It's got a better camera. Unnecessary.
No. The iPhone finally got on par with everything else, and it has a USB port now.
Oh,
we can all buy one charger. You're not gonna be, I still got...
They'll change it back once they figure it out.
It's but apparently the they said don't come with the brick now, yeah. So now when you get your new phone,
you still have to, our last phones we bought were that way.
Oh yeah.
It's awful.
It is, yeah.
It's okay. Android still did it first.
But we need to have self control. We don't have to.
Shoot, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, yes. We don't have to go out all the time. Your brother Kenny and his flip phone back there, and.
You've got lots of self-control.
And, so we don't need to go out and, but, I'm guilty of it. Uh-huh. The PlayStation 5 came out, I wanted a PlayStation 5. And when the PlayStation 6 comes out, I'm probably going to want a PlayStation 6. And, but You know, we need to have that temperance, that self-control, you know, just, you know, hold back every now and again. Then we need to have patience to cheerfully endure. We need to have patience. And that is one I need to work on because I don't have patience. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that, you know, I set my mind to something. I want it done. I want it done now. I want it done right.
To the T.
I give instructions. Why? And what?
What?
I give instructions, and you know, if those instructions aren't followed, or you know, if you know, because I'm also of the mind, you know, that they should be able to read my mind. You know. It's like you see how I do it.
Unattainable.
It's not unattainable. You know, it's.
I think this is the wrong weekend for this. This is way.
Then
too
do it yourself.
You know, we need to have patience, cheerfully endure. You know, but to be fair, I asked you to find something. It could be. Like staring you right in the face, you say, "Oh, I don't know where it is." Is that you, Joe?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
But he can spot a deer in the back of the woods that's blending in real good.
That's
magical. What happens when you want to find something?
But yes, we need to have that patience. But then we also need to have godliness. We need to be holy because our God is holy. He's righteous, and you know. It's very possible, you know, as Christians, we can have fun and a good time and laugh and joke. And, you know, we can do all of those things that the world does, but not do it in the way that the world does it. Because we realize we also are still trying to bring honor and glory and just a glory to our Savior's name. And then we need to have brotherly kindness, to love one another, to love the brethren, to love each other. And then a charity, to have, you know, that one-way love where we just love. And we love people and we love each other. And that's what the Lord expects. So faith, that's the building block. That's the foundation. And then we add on to all those things. And then I believe it's somewhere there in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible tells us that, and if you add these things to your faith, you will never
fail. 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith.
2 Peter 1:5. So somewhere there in 2 Peter 1, it talks about if we do these things, you'll never fall. And, you know, as Christians, we don't have to fail. We don't have to falter. We don't have to, you know, give in to sin. We don't have to give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil if we add these things to our faith. And so we see God expects his
children. I don't see where it says fall, but if you read verse 8, it says, "For if these things be in you and abound,
and go overboard, yep.
You shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Yep. What's the next verse?
Ten.
You want to read that, Taylor?
Yeah. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
There we go. Yep. So yep. And so yeah. So you see, if we add these things, we don't falter, we don't fail, and so God, He expects His children to grow. He wants us to grow. Peter here, he lists seven graces that are be added to the believer's faith that he might grow. In nature, one of two things are taking place. The living plants are growing, the dead plants are decaying. One of these two processes are also taking place in the life of the Christian. We're either growing or we're decaying. And I hope this morning that as a Christian, you're growing and you're being what Christ would have you to be. Let's pray.